Coming up, Sal and I went to the Super Bowl. We raced home like it was a Fast and Furious movie. And now we're about to do our annual Super Bowl podcast. I think this is the 16th one for us. It's coming up next.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe, Ferrero Rocher, je 200 Gramm Packung, nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc, je 0,75 Liter Flasche, nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Barra ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Barra,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, where we have a new Rewatchables coming on Monday night. It is Parenthood, the third installment of Effed Up Family February. Parenthood is a fantastic movie. I would highly recommend you watching it before we do the podcast because it's really good. Plus, there's no football anymore. If you want more Super Bowl coverage, go to theringer.com. Bunch of great stories there. You can go to the Ringer NFL show. Put a podcast up pretty fast. Ryan Russillo has something coming up on Monday. And we'll be covering all the fallout. We'll see if Sean McVay retires. Sean McVay, we got a flying coach. Whole podcast for you. Come to the Ringer. We're here. We're here for you. We're going to talk about Sean in a second. We are going to talk to Cousin Sal about the Super Bowl game we both attended. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, we're taping this at 9 o'clock Pacific time. It's a little late after the Super Bowl because the cousin and I went. Sal, we were there, Fast and Furious, driving home. I was like knocking people over, trying to get out of there. It was great. It was a weird game. It was a dramatic game. It was poorly played. Wasn't really well coached. And I changed my mind on who was going to win. I would say 10 different times during the game. But the big thing for me, it was sitting there for Burrow, especially at various points in the second half and then that last drive, and he gets to midfield right away. And I was like, man, he's going to fucking win the Super Bowl. This is like, we're back. This is like Tom Brady territory again. And then all of a sudden it was 4th and 1 and they weren't getting it and the game was over. How many times did you change your mind during this game?
I think I sent you live odds when the Rams were down 4 or whatever and they're down. I'm like, all right, they're minus 110. And then they punt the ball. I'm like, all right, they're plus 140, even down 4. I'm like, I didn't know what was going on with them. And I felt the same way with you. Like, it feels like the easy way to analyze these games. Like, all right, who has the better quarterback? But by the end, there's like neither team can run the ball, especially the Rams. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how many yards did they end up with 33 rushing, 36 rushing?
Hey, 23 for 43, and Kupp had 1 for 7.
Right, Kupp had the 7, which, by the way, I think that was what won him the MVP. I mean, obviously, the 2 touchdowns were great. Keeping that drive alive because he had to get mauled every play down the stretch, right? To stop him from scoring, and eventually scored anyway. It wasn't that hideous pass he threw. I mean, we have an MVP with a 39.6 passer rating. I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
He almost killed somebody in the third row, I think.
Yeah, but they couldn't run. You and I were texting each other. What the hell is going on here? Give it to Sony Michel. Do something. How is this team not able to run at all? So I thought we had like an hour of bad football there, right after the Bengals came out and scored and then scored again after the Stafford interception. Yeah, we had like an hour of bad shit.
Bengals TD to start the third quarter.
Yeah.
On an obvious offensive pass interference. I texted you, Gronk was called for 100 worse offensive pass interferences in his career than the TD. And we couldn't even see from our seats that he also face masked him, but it was a clear push off.
With something like that, let me just say one thing. Like I used to do this thing where I'd have friends, if my friends and I were taking an elevator ride and it stopped at a floor and someone got out or got on the elevator with us, I would turn my head a little and I'd say, oh, look at this fucking guy. And the person who got on the elevator never thought I was talking about them because it's so outrageous that anyone would say that to him. I felt like the same thing happened with Jalen Ramsey. His head swung so much and was thrown so feverishly to the ground that the refs were like, no, that can't be. He must have tripped over himself. Like, I don't know how otherwise they would miss that call.
It was such an obvious pass interference that I thought they called it, and he was running down the thing, and we had people standing, so I couldn't see the ground around where Ramsey was.
Right.
And I don't think Ramsey complained enough, honestly. I feel like that's what I thought, even too. Crazier. And I was just like, oh, that's coming back. And then all of a sudden it wasn't. So anyway, they get that. Stafford throws a pick. This is like the Bengals had this moment where they all of a sudden it seemed like they were going to go up 11. They couldn't close the door. Ends up being a field goal, I think. And then it was just an hour of some of the worst football we've watched, where it seemed like over and over again, the Rams had good field position, did nothing. You could tell, I was telling Cerruti before we came on, like, you could tell every time they're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, Cooper Kupp's moving closer to the tight end, run play. There was no trickery. There was no anything. And at some point, it just felt like the OBJ, we were texting each other.
OBGYN?
And OBG.
Yeah.
We were texting each other about, is this the biggest Super Bowl injury of all time? Because it seemed like the Rams are going to get 50 points. They're going to, you know, get the over the whole thing. He goes out, their offense collapses.
Right.
The other white guy comes in, non-cup. I just call him non-cup.
Skaronic?
Skaronic. I'm not even going to say his name.
Isn't it Skaronic?
No cup. And it was like every play to him is a disaster. It's like he gets an interception at one point.
Yeah.
But Kupp was heroic. That last drive, I put on Instagram that run play you mentioned. Because it was like, it was clear, if they don't get this, the game's over. I didn't think that. I thought they were going to run the dive play and we were going to be like, wow, Sean McVay. Oh my God. He did it again. Another horrific coach. But it was a great play. It gets him, get the momentum. And you mentioned how Kupp was getting mauled. Just in person watching it, I don't know if the cameras are picking up, but it just seemed like the Bengals were like, we're just going to basically tackle him on every play.
Right.
Then they finally called it when they had to on third down. But didn't it feel like he was getting mauled that whole drive?
Yeah, it kind of did. And that's like, talk about someone who wasn't complaining. He just really kind of goes about his business. And eventually he's like, all right, I'm going to get you eventually. So it doesn't really matter. But you're right. I mean, it was so much that OBJ, that injury, first of all, was underthrown by Stafford. That more than the two interceptions were probably the worst pass, because he was on his way to a great game, underthrown, same knee as the ACL. We don't know what it is, but enough to knock him out of the game. And now you're looking at, like you said, that Bryson Hopkins, I know he's a tight end, he became their second best pass catcher.
I know. Right?
Like, they had to overcome that. They had to overcome that bad non-PI call. They had to overcome not being able to run the ball at all. Akers, 13 for 21. Like, I want to know what happened with Sony Michel. I mean, he only had 2 yards on two carries, but that's a veteran. You know, he has 7 playoff touchdowns, scored his team's first touchdown 3 times. Like, give him the ball more. You don't have to worry about him fumbling. So there was a lot of weird shit with McVay and the play calling. But yeah, you're right. Like, for an hour, we were like, hey, we're definitely not looking at the best two teams here. Right. And then it was close and it was fun. But
yeah, we had Akers, Jefferson, and Skaronic, AKA not Cooper Kupp, 26 carries / targets for those three guys for 56 yards total. That's a disaster. That was like, basically 40% of their plays were 3 guys that were doing nothing. But I thought Kupp, it was clear that whole, if it was like, if they score here and they win, Kupp has to be the MVP, because watching how they were trying to defend him, it felt like there were 3 people attached to him at some point on every play, right? And that key play, it was like a 25-yarder over the middle that really got the momentum. I just don't know how he got open. And it was the Stafford's best throw of the day too, where it was basically a button hook. 2 different guys were around him, and then a linebacker was right there.
Fingertips.
Stafford had to miss the linebacker.
Yep.
Kupp had to make this play over the middle. And then he caught 2 touchdowns on the drive. One got called back where he got hit in the head, and then he gets the other one. But man,
he is phenomenal.
Just immense.
I don't want to say, you know, I brought him good luck by hugging him Thursday night at NFL Honors and my cousin Jimmy presenting with the trophy. I mean, it's obvious that was the good luck charm, but
yeah, I think so.
I think he's coming off the greatest year a receiver's ever had, right? I mean, between winning Offensive Player of the Year and MVP of the Super Bowl, probably should have been considered more for regular MVP, and just the yards that he put up was just insane.
Right? I have the numbers.
Go ahead.
178 catches, 2,425 yards, 22 touchdowns. He won the Triple Crown the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
He had the most catches ever in a postseason, 33.
32? Yeah.
Or 32. He Offensive Player of the Year, Super Bowl MVP. And it got to the point where he loses Woods.
Yeah.
They have no second option for him for a few weeks. The OBJ thing happens. Finally, that opens it up for him. OBJ disappears. What was that? Midway through the second quarter. And from that point on, it was just like, it's basically cup or nothing. And I didn't understand. I think he had two touches in the second half before that final drive. But just sitting there going, just get it to Cooper Kupp. Like bubble screens, reverses, whatever. Like just get the ball in his hands. And then finally in the last drive, that was...
It's so funny because betting-wise, he went under his total, right? It was like 102 he and did. Then went up, shot up to 107. So we're like, great game, he's the best. I think people bet him and lost on him. But I mean, we were looking at it. So if they don't win that game, McVay's put together like two of the worst Super Bowl offenses, depending on how you look at it, right? The one against the Patriots and then not being able to run at all against this Bengals.
Yeah, team. I want to nitpick with some of the coaching stuff. I think like, but to finish on Kupp,
yeah,
I was trying to think like people I've seen in person, best receivers. I never got to see Rice in person, but Rice is always going to be my number one.
Mm-hmm.
Moss got to see in person, especially in 07. Could not do all the things Kupp did on a field. T.O. in the Eagles-Pats Super Bowl when he was playing in the Brooklyn Leg was completely unstoppable. And it reminded me a little of that, where it's just like, we can't stop this guy. And I think Kupp has moved into that, whatever stratosphere it is, because he actually did it in the postseason. Like, I just think you have to move him past people like Calvin Johnson or whoever, like, because it's different when you have the regular season resume, but then you go up a level in the postseason. And what he did that last drive, I just thought it was nuts because all they had to do was take him out and the Rams were done. Who else were they going to throw to? The third string tight end, Skowronek, Van Jefferson, whose wife was going into labor at halftime. Yeah. But it was like, that was it. They couldn't run the ball. They were done. And he had to make all the plays, and he basically did.
Yeah. It was great to watch. And yet you shit on him in that fourth down play. We were going back and forth arguing. I thought it was a good play. Yeah, anything out of the box that doesn't work.
Oh, the pass?
Like, I told you so. Kupp should not be throwing a snap. I was like, he was wide open. He had a clean pocket. He was on the run a little bit. Why isn't that a good play?
I hated the play. Well, I do that on second down. Don't do it third and four when you're down seven.
They couldn't
need a
run.
Touchdown.
There were no run plays that would work.
You have Cooper Kupp, who's sprinting with two guys about to tackle him, throwing to Stafford, who's just not athletic. It was like, what are the odds that was going to work?
If the Philly special didn't work, you would have been like, terrible, terrible call. Like sometimes these things just don't make, like it didn't execute,
I didn't like it.
But it was
I'm not going to like it. But at least that was the one time they got tricky because I didn't feel like they were tricky, you know, nearly enough.
Well, the fourth and one sweep, which I mean, they're going for it on their own end with what, 5 minutes left? They don't make that. They're dead. The Bengals have them dead to rights, right? So that was the second
Well, that's
time
the thing. I mean, one of the things I wrote down was the Bengals almost stole the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You think like you go through the 4 weeks where that Raiders game where they're holding on and, you know, if Carr doesn't spike it, I still feel like the Raiders would have scored it, at least would go to overtime. But the Raiders do everything wrong that game and still are in it and first down and goal from the nine. The next week, Tennessee just over and over again. It's like, no, please take the game. We're trying to give it to you. And then they finally do.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, I don't know what the fuck they were doing in that game once they had the 21-3 lead. Like, well, honestly, one of the most bizarre strategy coaching, the Mahomes performance, all of that stuff. And the Bengals still barely win. Chiefs get the ball in OT to start it. And you think like, that's done. And then this game, they get the Beckham break, which was basically, I mean, the whole reason I picked the Rams was I was like, I think Kupp and Beckham can win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Beckham's removed. And I'm like, do I live bet this? Like what? Like the Rams aren't going to win now. And especially when they're only up 3 at halftime, then they get the touchdown coming out of the gate. The Bengals,
they still had the best player on the field with Kupp, right? So I know Beckham was huge and you don't want to lose him. And by the way, that sucks for him. It really does. It sucks that the Browns cut one of the best players in football too. They just let him go or didn't cut him, whatever. That's weird. But Beckham's 29 looking for a contract. Injured the knee, the same knee that busted him up last time. That's right. You know, up against, there's like four or five decent wide receivers. So I guess he'll get paid. But yeah, you're right. They almost stole it. You look at this Bengals team, and we talked about it. It's hard to tell. Would you say 65-35 Bengals fans?
Well, you figure, what, 25% of the people at that game could give a shit about either team.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Just there to be
all right,
there.
Get rid of them. Yeah, so.
The Bengals fans, I was shocked by the number of orange jerseys and just orange in general before the game. I was like, wow. I thought it was going to be like, of the people who cared, I thought it was going to be like 80-20 Rams-Bengals.
Right.
But the Bengals fans flew out. Like, they were there. They were loud. When that T. Higgins touchdown happened, that was probably the loudest point of the game.
Yeah. And the stadium doesn't let you enjoy the loudness of the fans because they immediately pipe techno music in, you know? And it's like, oh, all right. Can you let it breathe? Can you let this game breathe a little? We don't go clubbing just yet. I was impressed with them. I got there early. I know you did. And all I saw were Bengals fans. I mean, I got there three. I was having nightmares last night about this traffic. Like, people like, oh, traffic, shut up about the traffic. It's a real thing. I lost sleep over it. And I woke up and at 8:30, I'm like, we got to get the hell out of here. And my wife's like, what are you talking about? Game starts at 3:30. I'm like, we're 6 miles away. Waze says 22 minutes.
Yeah.
I couldn't be happier with the traffic. I got there in 28 minutes. I got home in 27 minutes. It made my, I feel like I freaked out studying about a final exam and it was like, I aced it. Like, that was so easy. I it's such a major win. And I totally forgot that football's over and that I should be depressed as a result.
I did the same thing. We got there at like basically 11:40 and I was like, I don't care that we're this early. We just farted around, went to some places. And I was just so happy not to be sitting in. I was so scared of the traffic. And I think the traffic was bad. Plus, there were rumors that the truckers were going to try to shut down Crenshaw and the 405.
I heard that,
But that didn't happen. All right, we're going to take a break and talk more. Coming back, we're talking about the Bengals. I hadn't been to a Super Bowl in 8 years. It's really... I really felt, because the worst thing about the Super Bowl is you just want to leave, right? It's like a bad one night stand when your team loses. You just want to like get the fuck out of there as fast as you possibly can. But you can at the Super Bowl. And the two times I was there when the Pats lost to the Giants, it was bad enough being there, just getting kicked as hard as possible in the nuts, like two really, really rough losses. But then you kind of can't leave your own funeral. You're just like, can I just get out of here? And you're just walking and there's people and half the people are celebrating and half the people are like catatonically depressed. And it's like 35, 40 minutes of just trying to get out. And I was so many Bengal fans there.
Well, were they going to leave? They couldn't leave until the very end.
No, you couldn't leave until the very end. Right. Yeah, so everyone's filing out en masse and the Bengals fans were just crushed.
Yeah.
Because they knew. It's like, wait, first of all, they hadn't been there in 30 plus years, but, you know, they knew, like, they had the game in all these different ways. And then on top of it, they're at midfield. It's first down. McPherson, like, they're basically almost in McPherson range, right? So it's like just seven
I'm
more
thinking
yards
the same
going
thing.
Overtime.
I said 9 yards and they're in field goal range. And they're like, oh, they're going for it. Now, what we don't know is maybe they see that the defense is spent. They're like, all right, let's go for it. Let's go for the touchdown here. Why do we have to risk the Rams getting the kickoff and scoring and covering and everything else? But yeah, I thought the same thing. Field goal is almost automatic there. What are we doing?
So that last drive, they get the first down on that chase play when it felt like he ran out of bounds like 5 yards too early on that play too.
Right.
Right. So he gets to the Cincy 42. Burrow throws to Boyd for 9. Then that second and one, there was like a miscommunication, I think, with Chase, and he threw deep, but Chase wasn't going deep.
Yeah.
So now we're at 3rd and 1.
This is the worst play. You're about to say it.
3rd and 1, shotgun, and Sammy they give boy. It to our guy Perrine for a yard. That play, I need your best play on that situation. If you get a first down there, now I can get 4 more yards. And McPherson, I don't know if you watched him warm up. He was hitting like 54 yarders where they were hitting like the net.
Right.
Yeah, the net. So I think he was good for 60. And then the Aaron Donald makes the big play on the 4th down.
And they don't even really, I obviously didn't block him. But also, If he gets that sack, does he win MVP? I know it ended up being incomplete.
Three sacks.
It would have ended up with three sacks. He was very, I don't know. It would have been close, but yeah, they needed something better for Burrow there. I feel bad. So he got sacked seven times plus that thing at the end that really could have been a sack. I mean, so we're talking almost Titans numbers, and he still could have pulled it out.
Warren Sharp tweeted that Burrow was pressured on 43% of his dropbacks.
Jesus Christ.
He averaged just 6.3 air yards per attempt. And the Bengals line got absolutely annihilated. They, I think they set the record for Burrow had 19 sacks in the postseason, which was seven more than the previous record holder.
Unbelievable.
So if you're going to say, like, why didn't this team win the Super Bowl? You would start with, like, they couldn't block. And they
you
probably
saw in the post-game press conference, and post-gamer, he said, I wish we had drafted Penny Sewell over Ja'Marr Chase. I thought that was controversial to say. <but.
laughs> Meanwhile, you have the Rams. The Rams average 1.9 yards per rush. ESPN Stats and Info said it's the fifth team to average fewer than 2 yards per rush in the Super Bowl, but the only team that won.
Wow.
Which brings us back to the initial question we were batting around. This just wasn't a great Super Bowl, and I'm not even sure these were the two best teams. I really wonder if, like, Bills Chiefs was kind of the, in a lot of ways, the Super Bowl.
Well, what do you got to... All right, yeah, I mean, sure, you're not counting the halftime or anything. I'm in totality, I give it like a B-, because...
Well, from a drama standpoint, yeah.
Yeah, it's close. If the ending, if it's close, I don't care what color jerseys they're wearing or how we got there, but if it's down to the wire, if the very last game is down to the wire, you got to give it some credit there. The halftime show was good. You had some big name players.
Yeah, I'm just talking quality. I'm talking quality.
I know there
of
was
play.
That hour, like I said, that was it was just absolute shit with sacks and drop balls and rushes for losses.
Well, that's why if you're going losers today, and obviously the Bengals start there. The everyone who had the Odell Beckham different bets, like our FanDuel parlay that we did for $1 million picks, the same game I was so fired up for. It was Cup 80 plus yards, which hit. Beckham 70 plus yards. He had 50 when he went down.
Mm-hmm.
Beckham scores the TD, Rams win. It was like plus 672 or something. And then Beckham's down. But
by the way, he goes on to have that game that we thought he was going to have and diamond cleats all over the place.
He
right?
was wide
Everybody's
open.
Everybody's wearing diamond cleats.
Oh my God. He was wide open for a quarter. But going backwards, like with that Bills Chiefs game, if the Bills just handle that 13 seconds, I think they had the best team. Like if you're going to say, if you're going to rank the teams, we just watched a whole 17 game season that was felt too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then the postseason. And you're leaving the season, you're like, who had the best team? I think it's probably Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, I think that goes to your point as to why Bengals fans were so upset. Of course, you're going to be upset anyway when your team loses. But it's a longer walk when you know there were two
you
better teams potentially in the AFC who didn't make it. And the Chiefs gave it away against the Bengals. And the Bills gave it away against the Chiefs. And those guys are in it. And Justin Herbert's in it. And who else knows who's coming to the AFC next year? So
yeah, you're never getting a better.
Yeah.
Especially like this team that couldn't block.
Right.
That over and over again, huge issue. Couldn't really run the ball. I mean, they didn't run the ball the whole postseason. Didn't run it well today. And it seems like you could move the ball on them. And they get this incredible break with Beckham too, man. But yeah, I think Cincy fans, number one, most bummed out. But I would say Buffalo fans have to be too. And then.
Yeah.
Rodgers had to be watching that going, oh my God. This, well, we would have beaten this team too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's another one. Well, screw him though. I'll never be able to dig out of the bet I lost with the Packers. But
yeah. Did you find $83,000?
No,
to pay
no.
That
thanks,
one off
no thanks to you. You can't even lend. It's push me in the right direction.
I'll lend you.
You know, back to the Bengals thing, like, they might even get out of their division next year. I don't want to say this was a fluky thing, but you're right. It really had to be this year. I'm not counting Burrow out by any means. They're going to be strong. But right now on FanDuel, they and the Ravens are the same number to 21-1 to win the Super Bowl next year. So they might not even be the best in their division. They're not thought of as the best. I don't know. Their overall is probably like 9.5 wins. It can't be 11. It's not going to be 11 or 11.5 like the Bills and Chiefs.
Well, they have the receivers and the QB and the skill position guys are there. And I think it's easy for them to add around the fringes. It's going to be a little easier for them than some other teams. The Rams, I think we're even more of a it has to be this year team just because the way they're constructed. Who knows? You know, they went all in so many different ways. I don't know how sustainable that is. Felt like maybe one more year after this.
I mean, even if Russell Wilson goes, I mean, not that they were that great anyway, Seattle, but Kyler Murray goes, I mean, that division, who knows with San Francisco, that could be one of the easier divisions all of a sudden.
Yeah, with the rant, well, there's McVay rumors too.
Yeah, what did he say? He's getting married. He might take off.
Sean McVay, come to the ringer. We got you. Dude, make $15 million a year doing TV and then do a pod with Schrager. We're good. Just come on over. You have a home here. You already did 10 episodes. With the Rams, I feel the same way. Like this was a great window where you had all these monster teams that were just gone for whatever reason, right? Your team's going to be better next year. What if Brady's on the Niners next year instead of Jimmy G?
Right.
You know, what if, I don't know, what if Pittsburgh gets an awesome QB? What if Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray, one of these guys, gets traded to a team that's already good?
There's too many quarterbacks on the move. There's only 12 quarterbacks that are set, really, you know, and it doesn't look good for the AFC, or, you know, it looks good that how strong they're going to be, but I wouldn't want to be there.
You know what was a sneaky moment from this game? And I think I had a better feel for it being there than I would have on TV. When Burrow got sacked, it was like either late third quarter or early fourth quarter. He got sacked and they kind of got pretzeled a little bit. Remember the Bengals got the unnecessary roughness right after. And he limped off. And I had really good seats. We were sitting right behind the Bengals sideline.
Well, you're going to Francesa us now.
Great seats, Doug. But
I saw Clemens pitch 4 feet away. I mean, I'm not talking. All right,
but we could see them on the sideline, and Burrow was not the same after whatever happened. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he sprained an MCL or did,
you know, you watch
like
someone limp off, and it's like, all right, that first step is good. Ooh, that second step is bad. Oh, he got it bad. The third step's okay. Whoa, the fourth. Well, we're gonna see him again. But yeah, I'm with you. He took some monster hits. He almost fumbled by the goal line. Like, to get out of that debacle was. I mean, he's spectacular. He really is, and he's fun to watch. It's just that offensive line is so bad.
Well, after he got hurt, the next series and the people I was sitting with in the row, and I was like, I bet they run the ball because I don't think he's right. And they ran the ball with Mixon like 4 straight times.
He did okay
to start
drive,
the next
right?
drive.
He had like an 11-yard run.
Yeah, they moved it, but I don't think Burrow is the same after that. So I would watch that one.
He threw that incomplete ball to Chase, right? It was like 3rd and 10 or something, and it just short hopped him. But yeah, I was like, ooh, that's actually his fault. You don't see that much.
The shocking coaching mistakes in this game, and I'm sure they're going to be broken down in detail by somebody tomorrow, but like just basic situational football stuff that we were texting about, like the 5 minutes left in the first half, the Rams get the ball. They're up 3 and the Bengals are getting the ball to start the third quarter. And if I'm running the Rams, my goal is for the Bengals not to get the ball back in that half. Right. And it's like, if we get 2 first downs and Stafford runs the play clock down on each play, we get 2 first downs. The Bengals do not get the ball back in this half. Stafford's going up there and they're snapping the ball with like 25 seconds left. And then they had that play right before the 2-minute warning.
They didn't have to snap it.
They didn't have to snap, and he snaps it anyway when they should have waited until after the 2-minute. Mm-hmm. And it was like, there was like 15 moments like that where it was like basic, you know, shit you see like Jacksonville do in week 6. And it's like, this is the fucking Super Bowl.
It didn't hurt him, doing? But Zach Taylor calling a timeout with 37 seconds. Oh, that was the ensuing drive. Yeah, that was terrible.
The Bengals get the ball back. They get a penalty. Yeah. They're on like the 8. And it's like, what was it, 2nd or 3rd down? And Zach Taylor calls a timeout, like 40 seconds left.
On 2nd down. It's like, you lost this drive. The referees pushed you back because of the, you know, whatever. And this is it. The drive's over. Don't take it.
And then the Rams have the ball at midfield, and now it's 4th and 1. There's 12 seconds left. Run a play. You're going to be able...
I was all right with that. Yeah. I don't know.
No, but if you run a play, the play takes 6 seconds. Bengals get the ball and like, their own 49 with 6
seconds.
You got
a great kicker, though, if you can get like a 6-yard pass in 2 seconds. But I know what you're saying.
Do something. Or run a play that takes like 8 seconds. Do you think he could have made it from 67?
No.
I just found myself disagreeing a lot the strategy.
Well, the coaching
stuff
doesn't get better as the calendar turns from December to January to February. That's for damn sure. But they got rid of the DH, so we should be okay.
What do you mean they got rid of the DH?
In baseball. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, they got rid of pitchers batting. Yeah.
They added the DH.
Yeah, right.
And then the Rams not feeding Cup was really strange. All right. So a couple subplots. Actually, let's take a break and then we'll do some subplots. All right. So a couple subplots from the game. We had a botched PAT leading to the Adam Carolla theory of if you're going to fix a Super Bowl, go after the snapper or the holder.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy botches the hold and now it's 13-3 instead of 14-3. And then the Rams win by 3 instead of 4.
And everybody knew it. Everybody knew that if they're winning, they're winning by 3, right? No chance.
It's the moment it happened, it's like the Rams will now not cover. There's just no scenario. I don't care how the game's going. There's no way they're going to cover now because of this missed PAT. You just knew in the stadium.
And how many podcasts did you do where this week where you're like, it's 3.5. If it goes to 4 or if it goes to 4.5, it doesn't matter. It's like they made it 3 now. Everybody with the minus 3.5s and 4s are out.
I hated the 4. My goal, when we did really well on $1 million picks, but my goal was just don't bet the spread. And then the only bet I made in real life was the Rams to win with the adjusted line under of like 56.5. And that was it. That was my one bet because I didn't really have a feel for the game other than I thought the Rams were going to win. But the closer it got to the game, it just felt like, man, I wish that line was 3 instead of 4. And then the line moved up. It ended at 4.5.
Yeah. Well, everybody and their mother wanted. I was getting calls from people that are like, Rams, 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 Rams. I'm like, yeah. I don't know why everybody waited to the last minute to bet the Rams. But
so it seems like Vegas cleaned up. And
well, I think whenever it's not an over, and especially like with these same game parlays and you have the Odells and the Cup's going under, you know, as good as Cup was. Vegas does well when the game goes under, the favorite wins, but doesn't cover.
FanDuel was telling me that Odell as the first TD scorer was their worst outcome.
Oh.
And I think a lot of people had that. I think a lot of people just liked Odell in general.
Is that plus 850? Yeah.
Cup getting 2 touchdowns, I think.
I had that plus
screwed up some stuff. Yeah. But then Chase never got a touchdown. He gets tackled on that bomb.
Right.
Rams that had no rushing touchdowns. And then Odell didn't hit any of the overs for yards. So I think I knew I was in trouble with the same game parlay I did for FanDuel when Drake had a very similar version of the bet.
What
and
a jinx.
A couple friends text me. I was like, you know, Drake had something similar. I was like, I did mine on Tuesday before I was able to see Drake's betting card. But I thought that was like having Carolla come in on top of your bet. And I'm sure Carolla really bet. Carolla must have had Rams by
the He didn't do it. Yeah. He stayed away from the game. He stayed away from taking his son to the game. And he stayed away from... I had Stafford... Let me just brag a little bit. I had Cup 2 or more touchdowns plus 310. I had Orange Gatorade, which... By the way, why don't we ever find out what the other team had in Gatorade? Like, it should be like Millionaire. Like, hey, I don't want to answer this question. Okay, but what would you have said? Oh, I would have said B. Oh, it was D. What do we ever find out? What if Orange? I mean, I had a lot of money on Orange Gatorade. It was freaking blue. But I didn't hit that. Hold on. I had a bunch of these, but 23 exact points for the Rams was 19-1. I had that. I had Stafford to throw an interception before Burrow. That was minus 128. Bolt.
So Stafford had an
20 points.
Had two.
Yeah.
Stafford 2 picks was
2 picks. Yeah.
But that was pretty high money. Odds. That was like plus 250, something like that.
Both teams have scored touchdowns in each half, and I lost on Chris Evans. I don't know if you were paying attention, but one of the first times he was pressured Burrow, he lofts it up, and Chris Evans gets behind. The linebacker, I think, was covering him, and he just got overthrown. Oh, that would have been glorious. Would have been 11-1 odds for Captain America.
I didn't realize that was Chris Evans.
Oh, you didn't? You didn't see the shield and
stuff.
The star? Oh.
There was both QBs will throw an interception that was like plus 180. that Burrow never actually threw one. I hit
that,
on,
yeah, that would have been good.
For $1 million picks, I hit on Rams win with the under 57.5. I hit, this was one of my favorite bets, and I didn't do it in real life because I screwed up, but the no QB will win MVP was plus 230.
I went the other way, you son of a bitch.
Oh, you did?
I did. Yeah, for a little bit, not too much, but I knew right away. That was smart. But who did you think I was getting, the defense or wide receiver?
I just felt like Kupp, Beckham, Chase, or Aaron Donald, or McPherson.
Right.
I just wanted all five of those guys. I felt like if it's more likely to me that one of those five guys will win over.
More like you put McPherson in there. 120 to 1.
I know, but well, the odds dropped on that one. But yeah, it was like there's a scenario where the Bengals win 15-14,
right.
And he gets
like
five
us, we're
goals.
Talking about it, and there's yeah. Why not take a flyer on it? Yeah.
The reason I didn't love Stafford for MVP was basically what we saw today. He just has a few bad passes a game. You know, he had two picks. One wasn't his fault, but he missed near the end. He missed in that last drive. He had Jefferson wide open in the end zone, missed him. I thought he had like, what would you say, 6 or 7 really bad throws in that game?
Yeah, I would say that. And you know what else I'd say? I think he's going to the Hall of Fame. I think he is. I think that puts him over.
I don't think so. I
really?
Think there has to be an element of, although like Cliff Branch made it over Stanley Morgan. So now at this point, I compare those stats.
Your butt hurt because a Patriot didn't get in?
No, Stanley Morgan versus Cliff Branch is like, no, they're the same era. And Stanley Morgan has just better stats across the board.
Yeah. All right. Well, Stafford's got the numbers and now he's got a Super Bowl. So in a way, it was a bigger game for him than Joe Burrow.
What was the bad beat, you think? You think more people had the over or the under?
I have the 66% were on the over, according to FanDuel. But the bad beat's the extra point. I mean, if you have the Rams, although it seemed like more people on FanDuel had the Bengals.
I wonder if that was a bet. Could you bet that Sean McVay was just going to keep running the ball for no reason at all?
A non-quarterback touchdown pass. Brother Bry had this on our show, 14-1. So when Mixon threw it to Higgins,
wow,
that was 14-1.
It feels like that's happened in like at least three of the last 8 or 9 Super Bowls.
Yeah, more than once every 14 years, right?
So another subplot. I live here, but I also don't really like the LA sports teams, as you know.
Yeah.
They've now won titles in every sport in the last 8 years. Kings 2014, Kings. Lakers bubble season.
Right.
Dodgers was, 18, 19, whatever. Yep. And then this one, pretty impressive.
That is pretty good.
If you can win 4 in each sport over the span of, you know, basically less than 10 years, that's pretty good.
Well, the Lakers, I mean, there's always going to be spend, right? In basketball, football, and baseball, those teams. Hockey's a little luckier, I think. But I don't know. Yeah, I get home and my wife's singing I Love L.A. I'm like, what the hell do you care? She's like, I don't know. If our teams aren't going to win, I might as well root for L.A.
Oh,
right.
Man. You got to sleep in the guest room tonight. That's horrible. Anyway. Boston had Celtics in 08. Pats in 05. I don't know if they were able to do it in 8 years.
Bruins were when?
The Celtics 08. I guess you could say, because if you go Bruins and Red Sox were in the early part of the 2010s, and then the Pats were 2015. So I guess that's 7 years. So we
had, Bruins were 2013. Oh, no.
No, 2011.
Yeah, right.
No, they were 11.
Yeah.
And then the Red Sox were 13. But I wonder like what the record is for shortest years where all four teams won. Because I think Boston had 4 and 7. New York must have had something where everybody won at some point.
That might be it, yeah.
Although maybe not, because they wouldn't have needed the basketball one.
Well, it'd have to be Islanders won in 83, Mets won in 86, but then you don't get any.
Yeah, Chicago wouldn't have had it because they only had the Bears in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Maybe San Francisco, but then, no, they have no hockey team.
There's no Miami.
Unless you count like San Jose.
No.
Yeah, I think Boston has the record. Another record for us, Sal.
Was that what that was about? That 10 minutes?
No,
you knew the answer and we had to hear about it?
We figured it out.
Yeah.
Will McVay quit? What would you put odds on that?
I don't know. That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. You know, you look at John Madden and he quit. He retired so early. Like, that doesn't make any sense. One of the greatest, winning percentages of all time. He doesn't strike me as someone who's going to quit. He's got to be up at 5 a.m. scheming.
Another subplot, Aaron Donald, who had, according to PFF, 8 pressures on their first review, which was the most by defensive linemen in the PFF era they've been measuring since 06.
Do you count now, that a pressure when he shoved Burrow out of bounds?
Like, I love that. I'm so glad they didn't call a flag on that.
I know. Yeah.
So he now moves into the on the pyramid. He moves to the top level with defensive players.
Yeah.
Like he needed the Super Bowl, but now he's up there with LT and Reggie White and whoever else you want to throw.
Do you think it's his build is why he doesn't get the LT? Like, LT was so slender and seemed so fast. I think he gets that. But if you really just rate them side by side, he's every bit as good as LT, I think. He really is.
It's
as impactful.
I couldn't agree more. LT is still the greatest of the LT and Rice are the two greatest football players I've ever seen. Brady's probably
none,
the best.
Neither of them played for Boston. How are you going
to
say that?
I just think that those guys Boston were just did. Unbelievable to watch. Like, yeah. I've just never seen anything like it. But I think with Donald, like, if we were his, if we were on his team, his image team or whatever, I think like some cool facial hair or something would have really helped him.
Interesting.
Like a long chin beard thing or some way to stand out. There's something about him where he doesn't stand out face physically. You know, where LT always, he was just so unique, everything about him.
Yeah, Aaron Donald hardly ever gets hooked on cocaine, and it's working to his detriment.
Or maybe he needed like some sort of vice or just something, but he's like, if I was like, give me 3 Aaron Donald stories, I'd be like, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What does he look like? Normal guy.
Double teamed the whole time.
Still but then when through. You watch, man, there was a couple times in the game just where he's chasing Burrow, and honestly, you're fearing for the quarterback.
He had an Ndamukong Suh anger today, right? I felt like a force. That was a terrifying force.
I don't know if this can be backed up, but it felt like when he shoved Burrow out of bounds and the Bengals got mad and that like the 10 guys were around him. After that, it felt like he went to another level. It just seemed like they couldn't block him after that.
The Bengals they took some weird penalties, right? They took, I got shit for it, but what happened? What was the celebration penalty? Someone came in street clothes and celebrated after the interception.
Oh, that's what that was?
I think so, because I blame the referees. I'm like, oh, here the referees go. And people are like, what? Somebody came in on a hoodie, and what is the ref supposed to do? But they were like the second least penalized team, and they took some big penalties that took them out of drives and really dumb things there. Personal fouls.
There's going to be a lot of takes this week about the Rams gamble paying off. But like,
4th-and-1? Yeah.
No, just in general, like giving up all those draft picks and it paid off and they did it and all that stuff. And it's true. And I've said it on my pod. I'm sure you've said it on one of your 9 pods.
How dare you?
The thing is, though, when you do all the gambles that they did, if they're crazy, I do think that has to be just like a footnote when you talk about the gamble. Like, if we go to Vegas with Daniel and Daniel just goes on craps and he's just making crazy bets and a few of them win. Is it more, I can't believe that worked? Or is it like, wow, what a genius Daniel was, craps with those, when he bet the double ones and then it hit. Man, he did it again. Or are you watching it going, that's insane. I can't believe this worked out. Because with the Rams, I'm like 60%. Yeah, great job. And then 40%, like, that was still kind of insane, all those picks you gave up.
Well, why don't we crystallize it to a season that we can compare this to? The Chargers coach, Staley, right? Like, how many times did he fly too close to the sun and it worked, right?
Yeah.
First half of the year, every 4th down decision was the right one. And then it really kind of came back to haunt them. So, yeah, you have the same thought with that. Is this guy lucky or he's a madman? And I feel like Belichick's the only one that could pull it off with any sort of a big percentage of success.
Because they've made some really dumb trades. Like, they gave up a first rounder for Brandon Cooks, who we watched for a year with the Pats. Yeah. And we were like, wow, we got a first round pick for Brandon Cooks? Like, I didn't trust him at all in a big game, you know? And they just let it fly around. The Stafford thing, I guess, that's
but then
the one
Beckham
where you get
was
the
Beckham wasn't a risk, right? Whatever. I mean, if he's a cancer in the clubhouse,
no, Beckham was a win. But Von Miller.
But Von Miller got his contract paid by the Denver mostly, didn't he?
Well, they gave up a second and third, but he had a couple of big plays today.
Yeah, but nobody else would have been able to make that cap-wise work. But yeah.
But how funny would it be if McVay retired after this game where it's just like they trade all these picks. They do. They basically leverage everything just to win this year. They're like, all right, I'll see you guys later.
Right.
That's enjoy it. Your Super Bowl.
I can see it.
I felt really bad for Beckham.
I do too.
I thought it was such a great story. I'm not even a giant Beckham fan. Kevin Wilds tweeted, if you ever wonder if you could make a difference, a Browns fan produced an 11-minute YouTube video of Odell always being open, and now the Rams win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's not wrong. I mean, in a weird way, the Browns kind of helped the Rams. I wonder, like, if that YouTube video never happens, does he get released? Does it turn into a thing? What happens?
Yeah. Well, Beckham's father has to be, hired on the ringer, right, to run the social media now. And that's the big thing.
Well, then you have the Browns and the Bengals, who it's like they hate each other, but the rivalry's never really gotten going. But they end up, the Browns end up kind of screwing the Bengals. At least Beckham, that touchdown, the first touchdown, that was an unbelievable catch. It was so much fun to just see that live. We were like, wow.
Off balance. Well, you had really good seats, so tell us about it more.
Dude, I think everyone in the arena enjoyed those things.
Can I tell you what bothered me most about the game?
Can you do it after this break?
No. Yeah, go ahead. I'll do
it. We're going to take a break. All right.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem. Mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
All right, what bothered you most about this game?
West Coast Super Bowls. I don't like that it's light for 2.5 hours.
Mm.
And in fact, even the halftime, it was still light during the halftime show, which was great, by the way. But I don't like, I don't know. There's no finality to it when it's shadowy and the sun is out for the first 2 hours of the game. Right? Does that bug you at all?
It was weird. Yeah. I thought the stadium itself, like that greenhouse thing, everyone was predicting it was going to be so hot in there. It wasn't at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about being at the game. The halftime show was absolutely electric. I loved it.
The best one we were at, right? We were at Janet Jackson. That wasn't as good. Like, I'm trying to think of the ones we were at. This was the best one.
I thought that, I didn't go to it, but I thought that J-Lo Shakira Super Bowl was fantastic. I thought that performance, I thought they were great. This was like kind of amazing to especially near at the end when they got it, when they were all in the same thing together and saw these legends.
Yeah.
Especially Giant 50 Cent, seeing him on the Jumbotron, be like, whoa, look at that.
Right, right, right.
I thought Eminem, Lose Yourself, was just fucking banger. It really sounded good. And Kendrick Lamar sounded great. It was an awesome awesome.
I felt like
show.
They could have lost two of those guys and it would have still been one of the best we saw. Like if they lost Kendrick Lamar and Eminem, like Dre and Snoop, like it still would have been phenomenal. Like, they really had
I would have lost 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Given Kendrick a little bit more. Yeah, because Kendrick, doesn't really usually do stuff like this. So to see him out there, I was surprised by the song choices too. I thought he was going to go a little safer.
Well, he worked out for this 50 Cent. I mean, he really, it was like getting ready for a movie.
Eminem was like legitimate. He really was gigantic. It was a conversation in the sections. Yeah. Eminem was way better than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really felt like he was throwing like in the high 90s. But
people
cool.
like it doesn't. You run the risk of being made fun of because we're older guys, right? And these are guys we kind of grew up with. I don't know. We weren't kids when these guys were big, but. There is that thing going into it, like, oh, why are they using these 50-year-old guys? Who cares anymore? And it's like, for it to come together, like, you really couldn't say anything bad about it, right?
Fantasy tweeted how he feels about this halftime show the same way his dad felt when it was the Blues Brothers and ZZ Top in 1997, which I thought was a good way to put it. But
yeah,
I just thought it was cool to see all those guys.
It was also cool how fast they got that stage up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you're watching, again, I didn't have nearly as good of seats as you, but I feel like the way they constructed the stage, when we're not subject to a commercial. In fact, we didn't see any commercials, which kind of sucks. But the way they get it together so quickly was spectacular.
I think that was my 8th Super Bowl. Watching how fast they put the set up is like the secret best part of going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. It's like honestly awe-inspiring to watch.
It's like a pit crew, right? Like,
yeah.
I'd like to see how they rehearse that or practice just that part of it.
So that was my first time in that stadium. You'd been there before.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Easy to get in. I thought it was, the Jumbotron was cool, but I also kind of miss just having a normal Jumbotron. It's like this weird circle thing around. I thought it was a little hard to see some of the replays. The stat stuff was great.
That was
like
amazing.
The best stats experience. They had like these next gen stats, and
your favorite one? They had percent. I mean, they had like percentage. They had like air yards and stuff. Like, they would pop these up and repeat them every like 45 seconds.
Yeah, I took one. I took a picture with 43 seconds left when it was 4th and 1. They had this one thing at this next gen stats where it was like average time to throw. Rams was 2.82 seconds. The Bengals was 1.94.
Right.
average separation, Rams 4.1 from Bengals 2.8. So this is the best though. Rush yards over expectation. The Bengals were 9.3. The Rams were minus 37.2. They had 37 less yards than they're expected to get on the plays they called.
Why can't we see this in regular telecasts?
Because God forbid.
If they don't want to refer to it, it's fine. Just run to the bottom of the screen every now and then.
Yeah, and they had 7 sacks, 16 pressures, 40% pressure rate. This was 43 seconds left. It was so interesting. It was like everything I wanted as I was watching the game. I didn't think they had enough individual stats, but that was cool. The food's great. The food was all over the place in the right ways. They had a bunch of pro shops. Bathrooms were easy, but they've really... last few years have figured out these football
stadiums. Let me just say, we got lucky getting out of there with traffic. We really did get lucky. If I had a left instead of a right, we would be doing this podcast in 3.5 hours. I just got lucky to get out. And
we knew we had to hightail out of there too.
Well, what would be what would have been the best time to leave your house? Like, you got there 4 hours early. I know you were fine with it, but I went through it in my head a million times. I'm like, if I leave an hour after, I'm thinking I might miss this game.
I learned this when I did the Olympics in 2012 when I was there. I was like, I'd just rather be early and know that I'm going to get there and not have to worry about it. And I'll just figure out what to do that extra hour. And it's fun. It's also fun to be there as it fills up, too.
An insurance commercial with like 75-year-old husband and wife, and they see someone rushing for their plane and like, oh, he should have left earlier. Is that what we've become? Is that what we are with sports?
Yeah, but I'm the opposite with the airport. I'm like as the latest I can possibly get to. I know people that will get there like 3.5 hours. Like my dad will get there 3 hours before
his Uncle Frank used to sleep over at the airport because he didn't trust missing an early flight.
Well, that was like his biggest fear, right?
Oh,
Being late for a flight was his number one fear in life.
It's like, Uncle Frank, you know there's another Southwest flight to Vegas like 37 minutes after this if you missed it, right? You'd be all right? Okay. From L.A.?
The crazy thing about this Super Bowl to me was the masks.
And the masks.
Being told, oh, you got to wear your mask. Like, we went down to this club in the bottom and said, you got to wear a mask unless you're eating. I'm like, what are we doing? What is going on?
Did you hit the tailgate experience before?
We had the ticket, but skipped it because it was like 80 degrees.
And you had something better.
Baking in the sun.
No, but it was fine. But it was outdoors, and every 10 feet, someone was holding a sign that said, you cannot enter this area without a mask. And no one wore a mask. So all these people are holding this sign for no reason. Like, it's outdoors. It's hot. People are having trouble breathing. They're going to be stuffing their faces with shrimp quesadilla in these tents where you can't get a seat. Like, no one's going to wear a mask. So.
We've lost our minds. I just can't get over how dumb this is. Like, honestly, what are we doing? the numbers are going way down. Like, what are we doing? And there's nobody in charge of any of it. And then there's pictures online today. The freaking LA mayor, Garcetti, is just in his suite, no mask on, talking to people. It's like, so...
Is that from today? On. From yeah. today's game?
So I have to have a mask on, but if I'm eating, mask off. So,
the virus
what are we
knows.
Doing?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Is Spotify going to get mad at you if you don't have this take? I don't know how it works anymore. I agree with you. It's nuts.
Keep that in the pod, Kyle. honestly, this is nuts. I can't wait to, my kids are going to have to, wear masks in school tomorrow and pass the COVID test again. It's like, what are we doing?
I know. Hopefully we're winding down a little bit before
hopefully.
We wind back up.
Hopefully, is anyone awake? Are the lights on? Anyway. I just couldn't believe I had to wear... I'm at a football stadium where basically outdoors and I have to wear a mask when I go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I've already had COVID and I'm boosted.
It doesn't matter.
What are we doing?
I don't know. We're not talking football anymore. I know that.
Are you sad? Did the sadness kick in yet?
Yeah, no, it hasn't kicked in. It definitely hasn't kicked in. Trying to think. I will say this. The fact that it's a week later... Now March Madness is, now we only have to wait 3 weeks before the conference tournaments, which I love. And NBA is heating up. Is anyone going to step up?
Well, the bummer was that the trade deadline should be this week. They should have moved the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So it was like Wednesday, something right. So that they didn't conflict with Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It would have been way more fun if the Harden trade.
I'm going Bucks to win the East. I don't care. Oh, look at this. They're favored now to win the East. I took it last week. They were right after the trade. They were third in line. Now they're favored. This is good.
I mean, I have an incredible amount of info on that Harden trade.
Well, it already happened. We needed it before.
No, it made me even more skeptical that it's going to work for the Sixers this year.
Yeah.
I'll save it for a podcast later this week, unless you want it now.
No, it's fine. I mean, Embiid's going to get hurt anyway, so. I don't know if you found that out, but
the crazy thing to me. So looking at I can't believe we switched to basketball. I'm so happy.
Shit, it's my fault too.
The crazy thing to me is the Bucks are +550 and the Nets are 6-1. The Nets aren't winning the title.
I'm just looking at the East. Why wouldn't you just take them for the East, the Bucks?
Ben Simmons is going to come back and be an important cog of the freaking Nets. Kyrie, who's once again was going at reporters today and seems like he's about to unravel. Mm. But Ben Simmons, we just watched him completely unravel in the playoffs and then take his ball and go home for 8 months.
You don't think he's been practicing chucking it behind
the
arc?
No, I don't. I don't think he's that guy. I don't. I don't think he has the work ethic to do that. I don't think he's been spending the last 8 months shooting free throws and being I'll show everybody. I think he's been kicking back.
Yeah.
And then the Heat are 11-1 to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
And then my Celtics are 42-1, who have been quietly kicking ass for.
I knew
two
you.
Months.
I said it. I predicted it. I was like, they're going to win 4 out of 5, and then that'll be just enough for you.
I am, as well documented, one of the last believers, but this team's kind of sucked me in. They're not that far away from they're
all
2.5 games behind the three seed. Yeah,
not bad. Yeah.
They're playing really well. They're all the net rating, all the stuff with them has been good.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see for? What do we have for the Super Bowl odds for next year?
Well, I think it's Chiefs and Bills at the top. Yeah, Chiefs 7-1, Bills 7-1, Rams 12, my Cowboys 12, Packers 13 for now, 49ers 15 for now. And then, like I said, Bengals and Ravens are 21.
So Broncos are 22-1 because of the Rodgers possibility.
Yeah, they can't make that too crazy. Yeah.
Chargers 24-1. The Titans at 24-1 is intriguing to me just because I wonder if they make a QB, something happens on that.
They would have to. I mean, if they got Russell Wilson, is that good enough? Does that bump them into the 18?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take all the teams that need a QB and just bet the long shot odds and hope one of them gets Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders at 55-1, I think, is intriguing too. Because that could be another Rodgers team.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I'm looking at Commanders. It just doesn't look right. That's going to take a while.
One of the dumbest names anyone's come up with. The Steelers, 70-1. What if they just traded 3 first round picks for Wilson?
Yeah, they could win that division. Sure. Yeah.
than the long, long shots, I wouldn't go.
Well, that's
near.
What everyone's like. All right, who's next year's Bengals? Like, all right, they don't. There doesn't have to be 121 to make it to the Super Bowl every year. We've not seen that really a lot, you know. But
well, so tell us about Harry had the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and he had a ticket, and then he cashed out. What did he do? Prop swap? Or
yeah, he put it on prop swap, but he stupidly it was $235 at 8-1, so it's going to cash almost $2,100 if the Bengals win the Super Bowl. But you should at least get almost $600 for the ticket, right? For $235 before the Super Bowl, he sells it for $99. Like, it's like, what is he doing? And luckily, like the CEO caught it. He's like, "Hey, do you want to do this?" I was like, "He's an idiot. I don't understand.
He paid $235 and he sold it for $99.
He tried his he couldn't figure it out on the app, and it's easy to do the app. I don't know what his problem. He's a lunatic.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. Our friends at CarMax have reimagined car buying with their Love Your Car guarantee. Imagine having 30 days and up to 1,500 miles to love your car. Return it for a full refund. It's a game changer. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined.
You know, I don't have a great one other than, so I get two tickets. And you knew last week at this time, or whenever we talked, Tuesday, Wednesday, I wasn't going to go. I was like, I'm just going to sell them because I know I'm going to lose a lot of money in prop bets. Maybe I can dig myself out a little just selling the tickets that I got for presenting at the NFL Honors. And then our publicist, Lewis Kay, read me the riot act. He's like, this would be very bad for you if you sold these tickets. He's like, am I going to end up in jail on the Super Bowl? Like Robinson and Barrett Robinson? I don't know.
Is it better or worse than when Lewis gave us the national anthem under that time and just preached about 9 rules?
No, nothing's ever worse than that. And actually, when he benched Jonathan Taylor, that's probably worse.
Yeah,
that's
pretty bad.
In fantasy. But he's going to love this. But no, I didn't know it was in a suite. So I was like, all right, of course I'm not going to sell it in a suite. So I'm like, who am I going to take? I'm going to take my oldest, right?
That's what I told you to do. Take your oldest. Sometimes the oldest has to get some...
He likes football the most. Yeah. He's a Cowboys fan. Obviously, he has no skin in the game with the Rams and Bengals, but I got to take the oldest, and then eventually I'll make it down the list, you know? So the middle one is like, all right, the younger one's like, I don't know, what are you going to get me there, Daddy? I'm like, well, I have to get you something. Can't we just, whatever. So now I have to get them something. But I come home, and the middle one is furious with me. He's like, I didn't know Eminem was going to be there. You know I love Eminem. Archie doesn't give a crap about these two teams. Eminem should have been the difference. You should have taken me and not him. I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Eminem was on for 7 minutes. What do you want me to do? So
maybe less.
I don't know what to do now, but it does become a numbers game. I guess I make fun of you for being an only child, but I think that's the way to do it, parents. If you have three, get rid of two.
I think you should have had more fun with the whole thing. Like, you think like you're the guy who invented the vote somebody out of the fantasy move.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like you could have created some sort of something where everybody had to pitch to go to the game, and you could have made that a podcast, or all three kids had to pitch, including Harrison, your 8-year-old.
Yeah. I know. I just, you know, it was going to be the kids. The staff thought, like, my staff is like, oh, you should have like an Olympic event and the winner goes to the game with you. And I was like, what am I going to say? Like, Damashek hula hooped more than Megan. So sorry, Archie, you're out. You can't go to the game. Like, I don't even know what to do. But yeah, I should have played it better.
I think the Archie move is the right move because Archie's going to be going to college in 18 months from now and you'll never see him again.
Right.
When he comes home and just sleeps the entire time and eats and says hi, and then that's it. So
it's getting like that already.
You'll have a memory with him for your whole life. I took nephew Kyle and my son Ben. Mm-hmm. Who wore one of his homemade shirts, and it was his Odd Future shirt that he made. Mm-hmm. And somebody said to him during the game, I love the shirt, man. And he was sky high. But, you know, obviously he's, you know, one of the most unappreciative human beings probably ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
Great day. We ate some food. He got to go to the Super Bowl, the whole thing. But I was sitting in a different section though, because I had to do some Spotify stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the same row with Freddie Gibbs. Freddie Gibbs is one of Ben's favorite rappers. He's somebody who I think he's going to come on the pod in a couple of weeks, but is a great guy, Indiana native, huge sports fan. And I sent Ben a picture of me and Freddie during the game, and he was outraged and really upset, and it ruined the game for him.
It did?
It was all he talked about on the way home. I saw him. I was like, what? I caught up with him and Kyle because we met at a location to leave. And it was like, what a game. And he's like, I can't believe this Freddie Gibbs thing. He's furious swearing at me.
Now, was this so one of the things where you thought, oh, I'm going to look cool to Ben if I send this to him? Or did you know this was going to piss him off?
Nah, I kind of knew it was going to be. It's partly my fault. I should have just waited till after the game. Did the South thing. I had the tongue in my cheek.
Good. Good job by you.
But yeah, I knew it wasn't going to make him happy. But Kyle, can you pop on for a second?
Yo.
Can you give some of the highlights sitting next to Ben in a Super Bowl?
Well, I feel bad for Ben because he was stuck between me and like a 400-pound guy who just couldn't stay put. So that was tough. But the great thing about Ben, you told me, is he never has to go to the bathroom. He's like a camel. He sat in the seat the whole time. He didn't want anything to drink, to eat. He didn't have to go. You know,
Ben has this rare, he's an incredible packer. If you're like, hey, we're going to go in 5 minutes, he can be ready. Like mm-hmm. he's ready to go. He's great to travel with. He's always has his stuff, never loses anything. And is just this easy travel companion. But when you take him to a sporting event, he doesn't need to eat or go to the bathroom. We were at that WrestleMania in New York that year.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was like the 7-hour WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't end. Yeah.
And it was like, if you went to the bathroom, you'd be back 2 hours later. And he mm-hmm. just, that was it. He was locked in the whole time. So it is one of it. I told Kyle that's one of his skills. And he did it. tell Sal about the skateboarding thing.
Well, you know, some of those breaks for commercials were pretty long, but even that was too much for me. I looked down and he was playing a skateboarding app on his phone. And I swatted at his phone. At that point, I was done. I
can't, bored of the Super Bowl. Our kids.
I can't allow this. I can't allow it.
Our kids, such a short attention span that they can't handle like 3 minutes of commercials in a row.
I love it. Hey, has Ben ever gotten into, I think the answer is no, but I'm going to reach out to him on the side and try to get him involved in this. Has he gotten into nunchucks?
Because
that shit's gonna happen. I could see it.
Nunchucks?
Yeah, nunchucks. Yeah, whatever. However you say it. Yeah,
nunchucks. All right, I'll get him some nunchucks.
Yeah. No, let me do that. Let me be that. That'll be my gift.
Yeah, that was my first football game since the last Super Bowl I went to. The breaks are really long. Like you really feel like it. There was a couple that felt like it was like what, 6-7 minutes.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like an old man, but they fill it with that music and it's just no break. It's blaring. I mean, it's either that or hear Corolla analyze the commercial. So I don't know. It's trading one headache for the other.
I had to tell my son to thank me as we got back to the house. Kyle was a witness to that. My son, who's been to like just multiple incredible wrestling events. He's been to the World Series. He's been to the Super Bowl,
the Olympics,
NBA
right?
Finals, All-Star Game. All kinds of things.
You went to the Olympics, didn't you take it? Was he young? He was.
He was at the Olympics. Yeah. He's had all these great things. Just don't feel like he's very appreciative. Just wish I'd had that one more chance at a son or a daughter.
Well, nunchucks will put him over the top. Trust me.
Nunchucks could be a thing. All right, that was Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. At CarMax, you can shop, test drive, and buy a car your way, whether that's online with home delivery in select markets or checking out cars on the CarMax lot near you, or maybe a little bit of both. No matter how you like to shop, you're in the driver's seat at CarMax. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, so Sal, another season in the books for us. That was season
14?
16.
Was it? Really?
Season 16. We started in 2007.
Yeah.
And now we're through. But you'll pop on a couple times.
I'll be on. I love March Madness.
We'll do some NBA.
I'm going to tell you this.
I'm going to make a vow. And it's partly because I was a loser in real life betting on football this year, as I think were you.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to dedicate my life to being ready for these playoffs in the NBA.
Really?
You know, when I get really into it, like the bubble, I was really hot. Remember, I was watching a lot of, I was really watching everybody, and I had a lot of good bubble with, that was the year we had Miami. I'm doing it again. I'm rededicating myself to
All right. It's going to be hard. I think we're going to get a lot of 44 and 38 teams in there, and just good luck sorting it out.
We'll see what happens. At least the Lakers stink.
I do want to say, it came up, I had to do like some, clinic or something for Sirius or the spot. I don't know what I was doing.
But anyway, name drop. Jesus.
Whatever. But anyway, it came up. How did you and Bill, how did you meet and whatever? And I said, I'm like, wow, we have been doing this. We've known each other for like over 20 years. Like, have we learned anything? Like, I know we've learned things about betting, but have we changed our habits accordingly? I would like us to write down like one or two things we do differently that we've learned through the year based on what we've learned through the years.
This would be a good YouTube video. So I feel like we have learned a couple things.
Really? But do we apply it?
I don't think we necessarily listen to those things. But right. Like, all right, here's an example. We know don't bet overs. Like, for big games, especially like in futures. Like
futures,
everyone
for sure.
Goes right. Over.
Okay. That's fair.
You like steer toward the unders. And if everybody's on Odell Beckham and Cooper Kupp for the over for the thing, it's they're going to jack them too high. We're lucky enough to know some of the FanDuel people. They tell us like, yeah, the overs, like those are our biggest exposures. That's why the same game parlays, they push people to do the overs.
No, they're going
to
love this.
Because people love the overs.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have an under option on same game parlays. It's like
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
I think it taps into the psyche of the fact that it's not fun to root for unders.
Absolutely.
It's not fun to root for Cooper Kupp to have 58, whatever it is. It's not fun to root for a low amount of points.
Yeah, if it goes to 100, from 102 to 107, it's like, who cares? The average is 133. Yeah.
Right. So you just see your instinct in general is to go over. You've started zagging against this. You were doing March Madness, there would be no buzzer beater and stuff like that. Like,
I love
the anti-fun bets.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do feel like we've learned that at least. Like, don't gravitate toward the fun bets. The fun bets, they jack them up, stay away. I think we've learned at least to acknowledge that if you're making an obvious pick, that there's some real risk, because that's why casinos keep adding wings, and that's why FanDuel and everybody else.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like if you and I will stay away when we guess the lines, we'll stay away from obvious ones. Like, oh, that's too low. I'm staying away from that. And like three in a row of those will win, you know? Like, ah, that's too low. I have to take the underdog, or I have to stay away. And then we go full in on, and we talk about zigging and zagging. We never catch up with that part of it.
Well, the teasers, you know, when the teasers will get hot with those in the first 2 months of the season. And we should know by now, just don't do teasers in November, December. Just don't. They every week, oh my God, oh, crazy. Can't believe this happened. I feel like we know better at that point, but we still do it. And then, you know, I really feel like the underdog parlay stuff is kind of the secret sauce. Like, if you can put two underdogs together in whatever, in basketball, football, anything, and get the odds to like 6-1, 9-1, it does seem like those hit.
You minimize your risk too. So it's nice. You don't lose minus 290 on a quarterback to win MVP. Yeah, it's good.
Was that one of your bets?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You minus 290 that one of the two quarterbacks would win the MVP?
Yeah, you had the other way. You had that any other position would win, right?
Did you bet on the Rams will run a trick play that actually worked, but the guy fucked up the pass, and then I would immediately text you saying it was dumb?
I knew it was coming too. I was like, oh, second guess Simmons, didn't like that one.
Second guess Simmons is a good gimmick for me. Second guess Simmons.
Why did he throw it so hard out of bounds? It was right in front of him.
But that's why I don't love the play. There's two things that can go wrong. One, you have Kupp running full speed towards Stafford, and where you have to throw a touch pass, but he's being chased. And then it's not like Stafford is athletic. You know, at this point of his career, he's like, his limbs are going nine different directions.
I know, but they practice this stuff and they want to use it once a year. And so that was the time. I get it.
Well, the other trick play was that Kupp handoff that ended up basically winning them the Super Bowl. Because
that was it.
If they get stuffed on there, it's like 3:50 left. Bengals have the ball on the 30, their field goal at least. and they probably win.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm missing football. This sucks.
Cuz, a pleasure as always. Hope to see you soon in person.
Yes.
Another great year for
us. Let's get it together.
Let me do some plugs.
Let me just plug Against All Odds on the Extra Points Podcast Network. And we have that cash or splash challenge. We're going to tally it up. The winner gets $1,056. The loser, last place out of 700 people, has to drink Harry's brother's bathwater. And he is a hideous, hideous figure. He's a farmer in upstate New York, an onion farmer. And we are going to hold people to that. Otherwise, they lose their dignity, which is worse than anything else.
I'm going to plug the fact, and Kyle's a witness, that Ben made a Super Bowl bet with his friend Sydney that he lost. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say what the bet was on the podcast. And Ben said he would kill me in my sleep if I did.
What?
So at some point in future Parent Corner, just remind me, maybe 2 years from now, I will reveal what that bet was.
Was it something you could bet, actually?
Like little kids make not money bets, but more like if right. you win, I'll do this. But it was a good one. And then right. Kyle and Ben made a bet that because Ben had the Bengals because he likes Joe Burrow for some mm-hmm. reason. He goes, Joe Scheisty. So Kyle won the bet. And the bet was, what did Ben have to wear for a solid week in school?
Oh, I see.
He has to wear Hollister polos and brown khaki shorts and flip-flops. A whole week.
For a solid week. So Ben's really upset because he's very fashionable at school. He's a trendsetter. So
he's
now
making
he has
his
to,
own shirts.
Yeah, so now he has to dress. Yeah. So I thought that was fun. If Ben won, what did you have to do, Kyle?
I had to go to some weird smokers smoker festival or something. So I mean, I was going to win either way.
What?
That should have been anyway. In Paracorder too. Yeah. He wanted to go. It's called like the smoker festival because there's all these artists that he loves that are there. But really? It sounded like freaking not a place a 14-year-old guy should go.
All right. We're going to have to hold the camera on that. That's great.
Ben really, just a lot of options in all different directions for that kid. All right, Sal. As always, good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. It was produced by Kyle Creighton. As always, we will be back on Tuesday on this feed with another podcast. And don't forget, Rewatchables. Monday night, Parenthood. You still have 24 hours to watch it. I will see you here on Tuesday.